I like T.D. Jakes. He said, yeah, people say that. God told me this. God told me that. God told me that. He said, people, I'm quoting T.D. Jakes. The Lord told me to wear blue. He said, listen, my friend, don't be ignorant. No truly powerful person talks all the time. That I'm quoting T.D. Jakes. That when he releases a word in your direction, you are chasing that word for the next 10 years. Now, why am I explaining this, please? I am saying that as the word is coming, it's leading you a particular direction. It is. And that direction it is leading you in is called my ways higher than your own ways. And it says, if you follow my ways, so shall my word be that proceeds out of my mouth and will never return to me until it has accomplished that which I said it will accomplish in your life. Go and listen to the word I preached on radio then. Cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. I said there is a season of sitting down and counting. And when you have sat down, the word has entered you and you have counted. You come forth out of that season with what? A wisdom for your salvation. Now, what is the wisdom for your salvation? They are the practical things that God wants you to do concerning your life. It can be about your ministry. Can be about your business. Can be about your academics. Can be about your career and civil service. Can be about anything. But when you have meditated about the word of God, are you getting my point? It brings you an idea. It gives you a set of laws, principles, steps you will follow. Somebody else will hear the same message, hear something else. Because the word of God is what? Alive. Alive doesn't mean it has effect alone. It means it can think. It knows where to go, where not to go, what to tell this person. It turns around. Because sometimes that's what confuses us. A man is preaching a message from a background of prosperity, a background of abundance. NEPA does not take light. No, there are words that we have invented in English. They don't exist until we came to Nigeria and began to use NEPA. They have taken light. You know, it's bad English. You know that? No, think about it. It's horrible English. They are taking light. To where? But Nigeria is correct English. Somebody will even go to America and say, ah, NEPA never taken a light. As if NEPA did America. So a man comes with a background, all right, of NEPA does not take light. They start preaching. And if you are not careful, if you are a man of the letter, a man of law, all right, you start interpreting it with your background of NEPA has not brought light. This is NEPA whether they have taken or not. They always take it. Like the example I give all the time when we're on campus. We read a book, Common Sense Guide to Fasting. And there's some other books by Kenneth Hagin, which he said God told him to live a fasted life. That is, don't eat as much as you normally would. So, brethren who were not eating well before, cut down their food. Because Kenneth Hagin said God told him not to eat too much. Hey! And those of us who knew the way Americans behaved, we looked and said, this is not wise. When God tells an American, don't eat much, what he's saying is that eat more than a Nigerian. I'm telling you, when an American sells food, even angels long to behold, you know, like the Bible says, the things inside the plate. So when you interpret it, all right, without knowing the background, you will take your little rice and fish and reduce the fish in half, reduce the rice in half, reduce the stew in half. After a week, people start wondering what's wrong with you. I'm going to understand the issue that the word of God is what? Alive. Alive. It's living. When it leaves America and comes to Nigeria, it's the same word, but the interpretation and the kind of food they eat suddenly changes. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? But I've said all these things, please, just to bring out an issue. That when the word of God enters you, it leads you in a particular direction. And that is God speaking to you. Amen? And when you obey him, all right, you will discover there is a power in his word. And that's God confirming your life with signs and wonders following. When, as a very practical example, when everybody's running down to Egypt, the word came to Isaac and said, don't go to Egypt, dwell in that land, sow in that same land. And that same year, The man sowed in that land. That same year, he reaped 100-fold. The following year, he got another 100-fold. And he kept on increasing until he became very great. Do you get my point? Now, what happened? The Lord confirmed his decision with signs and wonders following. Do you get what I'm saying? You understand that logic? Now, so please. Book of Daniel chapter what? 5. Let me say this quickly to us, please. Now, because of time, we won't spend, we won't read everything, but I just want to read out some. You know what happened here? That Belshazzar took over from Nebuchadnezzar and began to do things that Nebuchadnezzar had learned not to do. Now, because of that, he was judged. And then the story began in that chapter 5 concerning the issue of the handwriting on the wall. In verse 6, the king's face grew pale and his thoughts alarmed him. He was really worried. Now, he was now beginning to promise to everybody to interpret, who will interpret the issue on the wall, a lot of good things. His mother heard, and then she came in verse 10. Now, that's what I want to read now. He said, the queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. Why? There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. Now you must understand that when he said holy gods, they did not understand who the true God was. They knew that Daniel had the spirit beyond that which was common. Are you getting my point? And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. Verse 12 said, this was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and we declare the interpretation. Now, please notice something about Daniel's extraordinary spirit. He said that the man had an extraordinary spirit. He said he had the spirit of the gods. Why the man was elevated all the time in his life was because of the kind of spirit that he had. Are you getting my point? What distinguished him was the kind of spirit he had. Please, I want you to understand this. I always say, Christians should get this point. You may say that, now we know that God works miracles, all right? And we tend to look for miracles from his hands, and I think we should, all right? Yeah, that we should know what God likes to do and what he doesn't like to do. God does not like the congregation of idiots or the gathering of fools. Do you hear what I said? And he does not love to promote mediocrity. When we talk about the wisdom of the world, all right, being inferior to the wisdom of God, we don't mean that the world will be making sense and we won't be making sense, even in the eyes of God. What we mean is that our sense is superior to their sense, and the proof of whose sense is superior is the results thereof that we'll see eventually. Are you getting what I'm saying? 20 people can apply for a job. One of them has favor on him. This is a testimony people like to repeat. I want to beg you, don't repeat. It's not a good testimony. Praise God. That day, there was one boy, very smart boy. He had a first class. Very sharp. They gave us a test. He got 99 over 100. And that guy got 895. Let me make a long story short. Brethren, there were 10 people that failed out of 20 of us. I was one of those that failed. And I got the lowest mark. Do you know I was still the one that got the job? Praise the Lord! Says it our God, a God of miracles. He took a failure and made him the one that got the job. Who wants to tap into that anointing right now? has a very stupid anointing. Is that God can't do it? Sometimes he does. Like I always say, then he will call you aside and say, see that you tell no man. That please, this is not how I do things normally. Say, Pastor Banky, I thought you said that God can lift anybody up. Yes. When he lifted David up, David killed Goliath. He did not say, hey, Goliath wants to kill me and run. Say, God said, don't worry, even though you run from Goliath, you shall still be king. Did you see that? God can lift a small boy up to a level where he will kill Goliath and become the king. We don't mean he will lift a coward up, leave him in his cowardice, and make him a prince over heroes. He does not do that. What God does in the place of interview is this. He said, Pastor, one guy came there with a first class from Harvard. Another fellow came there. He came from Princeton. One had done his MBA in Lagos Business School. And you describe all of this. Then we sat down for the interview. I had just a BSc, which I got from Enugu here, Enugu State here, in Esut here, or UNEC. And then they brought the test. Sir, do you know I was the only one who could decode the difficulties, even though I did not have their degrees? That is the praise of God. Or you say, the first man came with a letter from the senator, in charge of the elders from their senatorial district. Another one came with a letter from the president. PDP chairman gave one a letter. Sir, there were only two spaces. Eight people came with powerful letters. One person came from the owner of the company. I was the only person that knew no human being. Of the two places, sir, do you know I got one? Then I say, how did you do it? When I stepped in, God gave me a wisdom and a tongue that none of my interviewers could resist or gainsay. I was listening to one lady, you know, the T.Y. Danjuma. After I made $1 billion last year, was it last year? Or earlier on this year? Anyway, T.Y. Danjuma made $1 billion. You know the story. The man said he didn't know what to do with $1 billion. So he used $500 million to settle government taxes, pressing family matters, settled a lot of issues, paid his staff and all of that. The balance $500 million, he said, what will I do with it? He now set up a T.Y. Danjuma Foundation to help rural communities in Nigeria, just help Nigerians generally. He needed to employ somebody to head the place. There was one young woman, Thelma, that's her name. Thelma, now he hired, listen to this, an American company to hire somebody for him. So they got different people to come for the interview. And Thelma came from New York for the interview and came to see the chairman, that's T.Y. Danjuma. Now she said something which was very instructive. He had told the people, listen to me, listen to this. T.Y. Danjuma told the consulting company, don't hire a Nigerian for me. He knew how terrible our people can be. He told them straight, do not hire a Nigerian for me. But Thelma took him for the interview. She was working for, you know, been working in New York for a long time. And then when she came to Abuja finally to meet the big boss, T.Y. Danjuma looked at her and said, listen, I told these people I didn't want a Nigerian. I don't know how you arrived here. Now explain to me why I should employ you as a Nigerian. The lady felt very bad. Looked at the man. And said, sir, told a bit of her story. I worked here. I schooled in here, New York. And for the last 12 or 15 years, I have been defending my being a Nigerian in America. I will not come to Nigeria and defend being a Nigerian to anybody. That's what she told the man. And she told herself, I've lost the job. The man employed her because of that statement. Did you hear what I said? He employed her because of that statement. The young woman told her, sir, for the last 12 or 15 years, I've been defending being a Nigerian in America. I won't come to Nigeria, and I'll be defending being a Nigerian to anybody. The man couldn't resist that. Are you getting what I'm saying? The man had given an outright instruction. Don't employ a Nigerian. He himself signed the employment. Now listen, there was only one post. The only person who insulted him to his face was the person he employed. Listen, because of what the Bible calls an extraordinary spirit. That's the testimony of Christianity. God doesn't like this kind of testimony. Say, praise the Lord. All of them came. They were looking very smart. I was the only one looking stupid. They asked all the questions. I didn't know anyone. And they say, God, my job. God gave me the job. Isn't the Lord good? God could look and say, boys, now wow. My name is not God of the mediocrity. We think God loves to promote mediocrity. When you are in school, even though you've heard me preach, that first class does not guarantee success in life. You've heard me preach it. If you're a student, you still must go on for first class. It is no, you see, we must know, you must balance truth very well. We do excellence because excellence is our nature. Are you getting my point? Excellence is what? Our nature. We do things that are right because they are our nature. We don't do them because we want to get something. Even though you are planning to come out and enter into ministry and you are an engineering student, still go for first class. After that, fold the certificate and say it was nice having a first class. Never, ever, ever, ever in your life as a student, if you're a Christian, say this course is difficult. This one is too hard. Never. The confession you should make all the time is that it's an undergraduate course, or if it's postgraduate, it's my level. I can do it. That's why the school put in the curriculum. But you don't understand it. That means I have to pray until I understand it. That means I must decode it until I understand it. That means I must sit with it until... Listen, let me tell you, this should be your testimony. That I got to a point... When the lecturer is confused, he will look at my face and say, come, I'm making a mistake here. Can you detect what the mistake is? No, I do it to my students. There are students that enter my entire class. I say, who's the best student in this class? So after I've harassed everybody else, I say, yeah, now, solve it for me. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I've been in the place before I sit down. Our consultant there will talk when I was in the posting. And she'll look at me and say, Dr. Christian, I'm correct, am I not? I say, yes, man, that's correct, man. Okay, then she'll talk to me and say, is that not right? I said, yes, very right, very correct. Funny enough, it was on the subject, immunology, that I decided after I finished my, when I was going to start my postgraduate, I said, this is a course, a subject I don't know. So I sat down and studied it and knew it. It came out on an exam, our part one. When we finished, one of my colleagues came and said, Banky, I'm sure your script will be the marking scheme for this exam. Because she knew that this area, you can't hit this guy, forget. Come from any angle. This particular one, this guy must get it. I wasn't born like that. I one day, as a student, I didn't learn it. One day, I just said, you want to be a specialist in this area, then you must know this thing. And I sat down, prayed about it, got a good book, read it until I knew it. Listen, that's why I keep on saying God does not like working miracles. That's what I mean by miracles. Do you get my point? God does not like to take an imbecile and make him a head of state. It's not good. What he likes to do is to take an imbecile and reform his brain. Are you getting my point? Until he becomes so smart, he will take Goliath, finish Goliath. Say, any other, Goliath, before you die, you get any relative, tell me where they are. Finish everybody, all the problems in society, finish them. Do you get my point? Then he will make the person king. That's the testimony of God. Do you get my point? But that's not my message for today. The message is the word spirit. What kind of spirit did Daniel have? What kind of spirit should you have? What is the meaning of the word spirit? I'll leave one. Spirit has many meanings. Let me stop because my time is really gone. Let me just leave one with you. The word spirit has many meanings. And one of them is what is propelling a man. It's called the spirit. You hear, the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. That is, if he has a goal, if he has a thrust in life, if he has something that is pushing him in life, even though he falls, he will get up again. All you need to do is watch football. You know what I'm talking about. It's true. The days of Roberto Carlos. Roberto Carlos was a Roberto Carlos was a, listen, he was a world-class 100-meter runner. You know that? If you are good with football, you know what I'm talking about. It's saying it's true. What I was told that time, Roberto Carlos, you give him a ball, you are in trouble. He will push it far ahead. He starts running towards it, daring everybody else to catch him. He was such a fast runner. At that speed, give him a stud. What does he do? He falls down. As he's falling down, what does he do? He gets up again. You fall down at that speed, you will be injured. But they don't notice because the spirit of a man, the goal that he's going for, bears his infirmity. One of the world's spirit is what is it that is pushing you in life? Let me drop this one as I leave today. A Christian must be known by what is pushing him. Listen, Christianity is not the way by which we get the results that the world is chasing. You get my point? Every young boy in your village has sworn that they will build their own house before they are 40. You are part of that race. But because you are not a thief, you are not an arm robber, you are not a drug pusher, and you don't kidnap people, the only way you can make money is to come to church and come and sow a dangerous seed. Unfortunately, the spirit that's pushing you is still, I must build a house before I'm 40. That is why God has not confirmed your lifestyle with signs and wonders following. Let me stop there. We'll develop that next time. Let us pray.